Well, happy Mother's Day to everyone. Even if you're not a mother, we can celebrate today because we're all here because we had a mother. And our mothers gave us the gift of life, so we can celebrate that. Well, what a day. Nobody told me that the clocks was changing last night. Thank you, Pauline. I thought I'd got up nice and early and found out that I hadn't at all. Never mind. And then Will gets us drawing pictures. That's not my thing either. Never mind. I'm just really going to share with you this morning from my own heart, my own walk with God. And, you know, I've entitled the talk Kingdom Carriers and Atmosphere Changers, because it's something that God's been speaking to me about. And actually he's been giving me a series of talks that come under this title, because that's what we are. You know, if Jesus is our Lord and we love him and we serve him, he is our King and we carry his kingdom wherever we go. I will be with you. Just hang on there. Holy Spirit, just show me exactly what you'd have me share this morning. Lord, we want to hear from you. Lord, they don't want to hear from me, and I don't want to hear from me. I want to hear from you. And I ask that you would bring to mind those things that you'd have me share this morning. Lord, that would enrich us, that would draw us closer to you and make us more passionate for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. You know, the thing about being a mom is we sort of sometimes just say it as it is, don't we? And, you know, God will often speak to me just in the everyday things of life. And a few months ago, I'd gone to town, done my shopping, and gone to the bus station to get the bus, and the bus was there, I was just about to get on it, and the bus pulls out. And I must have been having a good day, because I blessed the bus driver. I was like, oh, well, Lord, you obviously didn't want me on that bus. So anyway, the bus goes off and another bus pulls in, so I gets on the second bus. And there was only about five of us on the bus, five people. And so he goes off, gets into town, gets by the market square, and there's gridlock. The bus that I would have caught had had an accident. A car had gone into the back of it, rammed into the back wheel, and nobody was going anywhere. The high street was blocked, you know, all around St. Paul's. Nobody was going anywhere. And there was a guy sitting just behind me, and he gets up and starts, you know, saying what's going to happen, and it was all expletives. Every other word was an expletive. What? You know, just going on and on. And it wasn't that he was angry. It was just his everyday language. You know, he was wanting, you know, you men like to fix things. He was wanting to fix the situation. He knew what to do to fix the situation. And in the end, I just turned around and looked at him. And I said, you do swear a lot, don't you? And the bus was really quiet. And you know, truthfully, I could feel the presence of God come and fill the bus. And he just looked at me and stared at me. And then after a second or so, he said, yeah, I do, don't I? And that was it. But when I got home, I felt God really speaking to me about it and saying, you know, what I did was speak the truth into a situation, and the atmosphere changed. And I felt him saying to me, as we speak the truth of God's word into situations, atmospheres around us will change. I was going to share, you know, I don't know about, I've walked with the Lord now for nearly 40 years, and I I've never lost my first love. Thank you, Jesus. I love him as much as I did the day I was saved. And I love his word. And I have what I call life scriptures, lifers. And a life scripture for me has been Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to us. And I was going to share this morning's talk on that verse alone. But in the week, I felt God telling me that I should read the whole passage. And then I really felt him confirm it when someone texted me and just asked me to pray for them because they was coming under worry and anxiety. So I'm going to read the passage from Matthew 6 to you from verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Now, have we got any worriers here this morning? Because, you know, it happens, doesn't it? What you will eat or what you drink, or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Over the recent months, I've been doing a word study on the word righteousness. If you don't know what a word study is, it's picking a word and tracing it through the Bible. Get a good concordance and look up the words and see where it comes up and how it applies. Now, you can do it on your phone. Not that I can do it on my phone because I'm not really up with these latest things, but it's a good thing to do. And I've been doing this word study on righteousness, and I feel to share some of the stuff that I've got from that with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's in Jesus that we're made right. Righteousness is about being right with God. And I love this, Psalm 23, verse 3. You know, we're so familiar with it. He leads me in paths of righteousness. But the Amplified Version says, he leads me in paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. We can't earn righteousness through our good works. You know, we can think that we're all right, I'm a goody two shoes, and we're okay. But no, we're made right with God through Christ Jesus. And Isaiah, in chapter 64, makes it really clear that in God's eyes, our righteousness is like filthy rags. No, it's God's righteousness that we need. And we learn to walk right with God by following the instructions that he gives us. You know, he's given us a manual for life, and it's all in his words. And when we live according to his word, the more we read it, the more we meditate on it, the more like Jesus we become. And he teaches us how to live and how to walk. And I love some of the songs that we sang this morning. You know, we're not who we were. You know, there was a time when we walked in sin. We walked in doing the things that we wanted to do. And Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh, of how some of us were, and some of those things that kept us from inheriting the kingdom of God. Things such as sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. All these things kept us from inheriting the kingdom of God. But when we come to Jesus and give our life to him, he sanctifies us, he sets us free. We become new creations, we're a new person. And in Christ Jesus, we put to death those things that kept us from inheriting the kingdom of God. Now we love him, we serve him, and we are kingdom carriers. Like I said before, we're not who we were. I'm not the person I was, and I'm not the person I will be when I'm in glory, because I'm a work in progress. And all of us this morning are works in progress. We walk in obedience to the instruction of the word. We walk in newness of life every day. Someone quoted that, I think, in the prayer meeting this morning, that every day we walk in newness of life and grow in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we need to meditate on that, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that's my desire, that people won't see me, they will see Jesus. And they only see Jesus in us by seeing the fruit of his Spirit in us. And as I was thinking about this, you know, and my own walk with God, one thing that I'm so aware of is God in my heart. Every morning I put on the whole armour of God, and I put on the breastplate of righteousness that covers my heart. It's about my heart being right. It's about our hearts being right. Because Jesus said, didn't he, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of our mouth really is a good indication of what's going on in our hearts. And, you know, when my kids were growing up, I could tell what was going on. You know, we listen, and even now, we can listen to conversations. And sometimes I do, I listen to conversations, and I think, what's going on? What's really being said? What's really going on in the heart? The heart matters so much. And every day, I ask God to purify my heart and renew my mind. Because we just want to be like Jesus, don't we? And the world just chucks so much at us. You know, when things go pear-shaped, it's so easy to want to react instead of just taking space back and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us. And something else that God spoke to me about, I don't know when it was, maybe a couple of years ago, some time back, is what we don't confront, we condone. And, you know, I've had to apply that personally, because if I don't confront sin in my own life, I condone it. And if you think of children, you know, if they're acting up a bit and being a bit naughty, you know, if we don't confront that, if we let them get away with it, what will happen? 9 times out of 10, it will escalate, won't it? It'll just get worse. But you know, God showed me, he's a good, good father. We've got a good, good dad, and it doesn't matter how old we are, we're still his children, and he's still wanting to teach us. So, you know, as a child, we have to be open to correction. And God really taught me through this, and I ask him to show me things so that I can confront things in my own life, because I don't want to condone sin in my own life. Sometimes it's easy to look at other people, isn't it? But we just have to look at ourselves. It starts here. So, you know, when I talk about confronting sin, when I'm talking about confronting things that are not right, and they're not, it's not always outrageous stuff. Stuff can be subtle. And I'll tell you, you know, we've talked about worry. And we've read this morning, God's word says, do not worry. In Philippians, it says, do not be anxious. So when we worry and when we're being anxious, are we living according to this? No, we're not. And you know what? I've repented of that. There's times when, you know, there's been something going on and I felt anxious and this anxiety comes towards me. And then it kicks in and I realise this is not what you want for me. This is not living according to your words. And I repent. I say, Lord, forgive me. Your word says, do not be anxious. So I will not be anxious. Help me, help me, help me. And he does. He does. And if there's any here this morning that's feeling worried or anxious, God will help you. But we need, you know, we need to say it as it is. We need to confront those things that hinder us from walking according to God's word. Well, how do we do that? And like I just explained to you, I ask God to forgive me. And God in his word says, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he does, doesn't he? He does. He's so good, isn't he? Do you all love Jesus? Do you all love Jesus?
Yes.
And if you don't, and if you, anyone here that doesn't know Jesus this morning, speak to me afterwards because I'd love to introduce you to him. God knows, you know, he's a good father. He disciplines us. He teaches us. You know, nearly every day I just say, thank you, Lord. You are such a good teacher. Thank you that you don't neglect me. Thank you that you teach me your ways. He is so, so good. And he knows that if we condone our sin, it will stunt our spiritual growth. So we can't condone our sin, can we? He loves us. He cares for us. And he wants the best for us. You know, his word says that he came to give us life and to give us life abundantly. And that's because he wants the best for us. And if we live according to his word, we will have that abundant life. He's so faithful, so good. Romans 5:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, another thing that I confront in my own life is comfort eating. You know, some people, you know, will go for a tipple, some people will go for a fag, you know, and if I'm under pressure, I will tend to look for something sweet, a bit of chocolate or something, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm not condemning anyone that does it. There's nothing particularly wrong, but what the Holy Spirit has taught me, it's wrong if I'm doing it to comfort me instead of going to him first. Does that make sense? You know? We need to comfort ourselves with the Holy Spirit. That's his name, his comforter. He knows what's going on. Psalm 85, verse 10, says, love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Think of how close the kiss is. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. When we're right with God, when we're right with each other, when we're doing things right according to God's word, we will have peace. And you know, we spoke about the fruits of the Spirit earlier. We can see what's going on. You know, have we got peace? If we could bottle peace, if we could bottle love, if we could bottle the gifts of the Spirit, wouldn't we be rich? Huh? Wouldn't we be wealthy? But it's free. It's ours when we live according to the Word. We can have love. We can have joy. We can have peace. We can have patience. We can have kindness. We can have goodness. We can have faithfulness. We can have gentleness. And we can have self-control. I just love that righteousness and peace kiss each other. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, in the Message, I love this. The ways of right living people will glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine. And when I read this, Grace, I thought of you. I thought of you, my darling. The ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine. But the road of wrongdoing gets darker and darker. Travellers can't see a thing. They fall flat on their faces. It's true. It's true. In Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about being a slave to righteousness. And you know what? I can relate to that. I really can. Because it's when you love Jesus, you want to please him. And in the Old Testament, do you remember this? When people had slaves, they had to serve their masters. Was it for 7 years? Where's Neil? He'll know. Was it 7 years they had to serve their masters? And then they had a choice of going free, being set free, or they had a choice of staying with their master. And if they chose to stay with their master, they would be taken to a doorpost and an awl would be punched through their ear to say that they belong to that master forever. And, you know, that's how I am with Jesus. Pierce my ear, Lord. I belong to you forever. I love you. I'm a slave. I'm a love slave, actually. The only person that has ever transformed my whole life, who has given me peace and joy beyond measure, is Jesus Christ. And I'm his love slave forever. That's why I want to be his kingdom carrier and an atmosphere changer for him. There's so many people out there who are living in despair and sadness, and we have good news of the gospel. And you know, just, you know, where I started about sharing with that bloke on the bus, if I had said to him, I'm a Christian, what, using language like that, he would have just thought I was some religious fanatic, wouldn't he? But I spoke the truth. You do swear a lot, don't you? We can be an atmosphere changer just by speaking the truth. Wherever we are, God wants to use us. So what about you this morning? I wonder what you're thinking, what you're feeling. But I can tell you that God wants to use every single one of you. He wants to use every single one of you for his kingdom purposes, to be a glory carrier for him, to be a kingdom carrier, to change atmospheres. There's not one person in this room that God doesn't love and wants to use. Many years ago, a pastor phoned me up and spoke over me. And some of you will know that pastor because it was Ron Luland, and I think he worshipped here for a while. And I felt like he imparted to me, and I was a young Christian. And he said, I want to speak God's word over you. They that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And he said, joy, you will be filled. And I want to impart that over you all this morning. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you have that hunger to say, above everything else, Lord, I want to be right with you. I want your righteousness. You will be filled. I'm going to pray. Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you, Father, that you are a good, good Father who teaches your children. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, Lord. And Father, I do pray this morning for all of us that you would deepen and even maybe give for a first time a real hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And I pray, Jesus, that we will be filled, that you will fill us afresh this morning with your Holy Spirit, and that you'd send us out to be kingdom carriers and atmosphere changers. Lord God, that every one of us would be here to live and work for your praise and glory and the honor of your mighty name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And I just want to say, I think that the children are going to come back in. I've got some things for us. But at the end of the service, after that, there will be a prayer ministry team, and I know someone has already asked for prayer. We're happy to pray with you, whatever the need. And if it's just that, you know, maybe you've been in a dry place and, you know, you recognise that you haven't got that hunger and thirst for the things of God, come and have some prayer. You know, come and get fired up. Because God loves you and he wants to use you. Amen.